This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This is something that I actually put in my folder when I came out here today. You have no idea what it is. Nobody does, because it arrived on the internet to me this morning. It's a request for the rights to use my song, Another Brick in the Wall 2, in the making of a film to promote Instagram. So it's a missive. It's a missive from Mark Zuckerberg to me, right? Arrived this morning with an offer of a huge, huge amount of money. And the answer is F you. No f way. And I only mention that because this is an insidious, it's the insidious movement of them to take over absolutely everything, you know. So those of us who do have any power, and I do have a little bit, in terms of the control of the publishing of my songs, I do anyway. So I will not be a party to this bull Zuckerberg.
All right, all right, all right.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with that anymore. That was Roger Waters and Pink Floyd. This is where the right and the left can come together on certain populist issues. And look, I don't want to sit here and bash big tech, because they've provided us a lot of great tools, like the one I'm holding in my hand right now, my little iPhone here. However, they should not be able to have their cake and eat it too, and they shouldn't act like petty tyrants. So I know you enjoyed this.
Oh,
as a
gosh.
Big Pink Floyd fan.
I am a huge Pink Floyd fan.
I am too.
I wore my shirt today.
Yes, you did.
And we were educating Katie. She did not. She's heard that song 1,000 times, did not realize it was Pink Floyd.
Correct.
So now you know.
Mm-hmm.
But man, I'm so glad, because if somebody walks up to your doorstep with a dump truck full of money, how easy is it to go,
Okay. I'll sell out.
And he did not. And it, you're right, Tim. I thought of you when I even heard that clip, because you're talking about, this guy is not a conservative.
No.
I mean, if you've listened to Pink Floyd music, like, there is nothing conservative in Pink Floyd music.
Probably hates Trump.
Oh, I'm sure he does.
Or maybe he doesn't. On some issues, he may not.
He's Roger Waters has appeared on Tucker recently.
There you go.
So
there you go.
Maybe the tides are changing.
And just like, I would put Roger Waters, I didn't know this about Roger Waters, but I put him in, after hearing that, I'd put him in the camp of like Glenn Greenwald, okay, Bill Maher.
Now, yeah.
Apparently now John Stewart.
Yeah.
You know, folks like that, sort of old-fashioned liberals who believe in, yes, they believe in things I don't believe in, like government handouts and a bigger welfare state and all that. However, you know what they also believe in? They believe in civil liberties. And they believe in freedom. And a guy like Roger Waters respects America because America's got something that the UK does not, and that's a constitution with the Bill of Rights and the First Amendment, where Roger Waters can get up on a stage and drop the F-bomb as much as he wants, and no one's going to haul him off to prison.
Right, right. And obviously nobody's suggesting that that's going to happen now, but back in the 60s and 70s, there was a lot more pressure on an artist to not do things like that. That's completely gone. But he's really anchored his ship to Julian Assange and the movement to get him out of the embassy, obviously, which is right there in England, so it's a little more close to home for him. But that's when you see him appear on Tucker, that's actually what he was referring to there, because he goes on in that clip to talk about, you're trying to use a song that's all about, we don't need no education, we don't need no thought control, so that I can promote you to get bigger and bigger so that you can just censor anybody you want. And he talks about and that they've censored him and other people talking about Julian Assange because they don't think that message should be out there.
I'll play up. Yeah, I'll play part two. And then I'll explain how small, I'll explain where the confluence, the coming together, that's a big fancy word, like for when rivers, when rivers come together.
Yeah, confluence. Right here north of right here. St. Louis.
We have a confluence.
That's right.
Yeah. There you go. little geography for your, why not?
Well-rounded.
We get it all in.
That's right.
The confluence of small government conservatives and civil libertarian-loving liberals, right? Traditional liberals like Alan Dershowitz and Jonathan Turley and the people we just mentioned, blah, blah, blah. So here you go. It's part two of Roger Waters trashing Mark Zuckerberg. I love it.
We want to thank you for considering this project. We feel that the core sentiment of this song is still so prevalent and necessary today, which speaks to how timeless a work is true. And yet they want to subjoin it. They want to use it to make Facebook and Instagram even bigger and more powerful than it already is, so that it can continue to censor all of us in this room and prevent this story about Julian Assange getting out to the general public so the general public could go, what? What? No, no more. Not a mass. Zuckerberg features in my new rock and roll show. I've got him sitting. No, I shouldn't tell you. But he does. But you think, how did this little who started off by saying, she's pretty, we'll give her a 4 out of 5. She's ugly, we'll give her a 1. Did he get any power in anything? No, and yet here he is, one of the most powerful idiots in the world.
Boy, he's got a point there. How did stupid Facebook get so darn prolific, ubiquitous, and make a guy a gazillionaire?
Well, I mean, you know? Again, it just goes back to like this being a societal thing. I think he thought that he was filling a need and took a gamble and was like, this is, I mean,
his
filling
worked.
A need, it's all relative. But he was saying, let me build a platform. And it did start with that. I can't remember what it's called. I don't know if it's Hot or Not.
Is it Hot or Not? Something
hot
like
not,
that,
yeah,
anyway.
Yeah, something like that. And I believe that he felt like society was missing something.
Yeah.
So let me fill in this hole.
College
that
students
no,
yeah, were missing something.
Yes, and nobody else has traveled this way before. This is new territory. Nobody else thought that this could be done. Let me see if I can do it. And then we as a society said, yeah, I can't blame Mark Zuckerberg when all of us signed up for Facebook.
And isn't it fascinating that MySpace failed?
Yes.
And Facebook succeeded.
And I loved MySpace.
Did you really? I never used it.
Oh my gosh.
I did too.
I loved it. It was so much better than Facebook.
Okay, so then why did it fail? What do you guys think?
You go first.
For me, I think that the age group shifted. Like I was on, I don't know about you, Ryan, but I was on MySpace whenever I was 13.
Okay.
And it had all of the cool stuff. It had the music and the layouts, and you were coding and you were building. And
really?
Oh my gosh. You were doing incredible things.
Neat.
And learning all at the same time. You didn't even know you were learning.
I'm going to get a MySpace account.
And then
you could probably still do it.
And then everybody I knew kind of shifted towards Facebook. And to me, Facebook was lame and boring, and there was no pizzazz to it. But I'm like, everybody's moving from MySpace to Facebook. So I'll move to
Facebook was more similar to MySpace at that time, where everybody had their own page. And it was like, this is my page. These are my pictures. This is what I think about things. But MySpace failed because you had to visit each individual person's page to see any sort of news updates or new pictures or anything.
You're right. You only got your page.
Facebook transitioned out of that to where they had a news feed. And so you posted on your page, but it would go into the news feed. And so you only had to go to the main page to see what everybody you know was thinking or doing right now. And that's what kind of changed everything, because it used to not be that way.
But I think it's important, though, like that we recognize, you know, Mark Zuckerberg has a lot of power and we gave it to him. And this is a great learning lesson to say how hard it is to get that power back and take it away.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a huge
because there's a
lesson.
Whole bunch of us. Probably in this room and a whole lot of people listening who have either already jumped ship and are like, I'm not going to use Facebook or Twitter anymore, or they're like one little incident away from jumping.
Yeah.
So you can still get a MySpace account. It still exists.
You going to do it?
I should. First time I've ever seen it. They have one of my favorite bands on here featured on their front page. Angels and Airwaves.
Oh, yeah.
Release
awesome.
Restless Souls. I haven't heard that yet.
I haven't either. But
Angels and Airwaves,
it.
Which is the
that.
Singer from Matchbox 20.
Angels and Airwaves? No, I thought he was Blink-182.
Well, I'm sorry, Blink-182.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Screwed up my
Tom DeLonge.
Screwed up my 90s bands there.
He's the guy that loves aliens.
Does he really?
He's the UFO guy.
Yeah. Oh,
so is he like
a
younger version of, who's the guy Annie plays all the time? The crazy guy? From
Randy Quaid.
Randy Quaid.
Wait, yes.
No, he's not Randy Quaid. He's just
not Randy
really
Quaid crazy
into UFOs.
Okay.
The problem is the stuff that he was talking about has now become sort of mainstream news.
Yeah.
Like, maybe Randy Quaid has done that too.
Well, and I'll wrap us up with the fact that all of our conspiracy theories are coming true.
Yeah.
With a story that just came out this morning on that far right wing website known as the New York Post, which the left loves to hate. Mm-hmm. I love the New York Post. When I lived in New York, which was for almost a decade, I have to say almost, because when I say I lived in New York for 10 years, my wife corrects me because she's a big numbers person. She's like, you lived there for 9 years.
So don't say that. Okay. Don't round up.
I'm like, that's almost 10.
Yeah.
Don't you dare round up,
yeah.
Tim.
So New York Post was like, I loved it back then. I love it even more now. Miranda Devine, one of my favorite reporters there. Anyway, New York Post coming out today. More evidence suggests COVID was in the U.S. by December
Thank you.
Of 2019.
Thank you. Everybody's been talking about that for the last 12 to 18 months, and now we're finally getting some data on it.
We would have been, that was crazy talk, right?
It was.
It was crazy. You couldn't say it got here before whatever the news media said the date was.
Or
it was
people kind of rolled their eyes at you.
Oh, like, oh that
can't, come on.
You
come
didn't
on.
Have COVID no back way. In December. When people would say, you know, I had this weird thing in December. I went on a trip, and I was out in California, and I was at this big conference. I've heard this story a few times from different people. And I got back, and I had this weird thing, and I, like, lost my sense of taste and smell.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. Well, here we go. More evidence suggests that COVID was in the U.S. Freaking Fauci.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.